From the Holy Gospel according to St. John. They took Jesus, and carrying the cross himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side with Jesus in the middle. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Now many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Latin and Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four shares, a share for each soldier. They also took his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top down. They said to one another, "Let's not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it will be," in order that the passage of Scripture might be fulfilled, that says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots." This is what the soldiers did. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel there filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it into his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he handed over the spirit. Now since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. An eyewitness has testified, and his testimony is true, he knows. He knows that he is speaking the truth, so that you also may come to believe. For this happened so that the scripture passage might be fulfilled, "Not a bone of it will be broken." And again another passage says, "They will look upon him whom they have pierced." The words of the Holy Gospel. An older translation of this passage has the soldier opening the side of Jesus as opposed to thrusting his lance in it. And St. Thomas Aquinas sees something of import here in the word "open," that the side of Jesus was opened instead of wounded or something else, because through our Lord's side, there was opened to us the gate of eternal life. Kind of like the gate that opened in heaven, which St. John the Evangelist relates, seeing in the book of Revelation. Kind of like the gate in the Ark of the Covenant, or rather in Noah's Ark, for the animals to enter into and be saved from the flood. And of course, our Lord tells us earlier in the Gospel that he is the gate through which we must enter to find salvation. "The gate gives us life," he says, "and life to the full." Now, we're not told exactly how much time elapses from Jesus bowed his head and handed over his spirit until the time when the soldier opens his side. Modern medicine says that 4 to 6 hours have to pass before the blood to be congealed. So if more time than that elapsed, it would seem that it's miraculous that Jesus' blood has not yet congealed. A miracle perhaps to show us that from the passion of Christ, we receive full absolution from every stain of sin. Absolution which comes from the blood, which was the price, the currency of our redemption. The currency which is so precious that a single drop of it would have done the trick, but nevertheless, to show God's superabundant love for us, you like that word? He showered us with it. Kind of like Daffy Duck taking a bath in a waterfall of gold coins. We're rich in mercy. And this currency, the blood of Jesus, has taken away our need for miracles. There are so many more miraculous interventions in the Old Testament. Miraculous interventions of God in the lives of people, of individuals. But now we have the blood of Jesus as the sign to confirm our faith. The sign that gives efficacy to the sacraments, which implant faith in us and then increase it. As the currency of our redemption and the life force, or the fuel, if you will, of the sacraments, the precious blood of Jesus is also a means by which we can defend ourselves from the ever-present onslaught of Satan, the accuser. When we do this, whenever we receive the sacraments, and we should never shy away from receiving them, we should make liberal use of them, even if we fear being presumptuous. Grace is free. Mercy is free. So like Nike says, just do it. Just go. Go and make use of the power of the blood, asking it to heal and to elevate. We can also make use of the power of the blood by asking Jesus to cover us mystically in it, to infuse our souls with it, and so drive out the presence of Satan, fill in whatever wounds there are in us that might be the ways through which Satan, the accuser, can gain access. The letter to the Hebrews proclaims that this precious blood of Jesus gives us confidence that we may enter the Holy of Holies. That the blood poured out from Jesus' side through our gate into heaven gives us confidence that we can go into the gate. Through the opening of his side, the blood comes out and redeems us, currency, and we go into it to find comfort and strength and protection. Like the prayer says, blood of Christ, inebriate me, delight me in your presence. Water from the side of Christ, wash me from my sins. O good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. And never, ever, ever permit me to be separated from thee. From the wicked foe, defend me. At the hour of my death, call me and bid me come unto thee, that with thy saints I may praise thee forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen.